Tonight, the message is titled Stir, Stay, Speak. And Bob, I'm going to apologize right off the bat because I can feel myself getting ready to move around a whole lot. So just letting you know, I like to give him a warning when he's on the camera. So right now, as I'm sure you guys are aware, in the church, in those who are church adjacent, and in the wider world, there's a lot of conversation right now centered around words like deconstruction, right? Words like church hurt, okay? A lot of conversation about disconnecting and doing faith alone, right? And this has been stirring for a long time. And 2020, we all were alone, right? Separated from broader community in a very real way. And so people got used to church online, right? It had already been a thing, but it is even greater of a thing now, of that ability, which is beautiful through the internet and through the power of technology, to be able to connect with bodies that you don't have physical access to. But then it turned into something where people did not come back. And lots of people had legitimate reasons to start off, and that's fine. Everybody has seasons where they need to be, where they're sick or they're shut in. Certainly when I have been pregnant and then when I've had a child, I do not attend a local fellowship or gathering for a significant period of time until it makes sense again. So I'm not talking about the normal rhythms of life that may cause you to be separated, okay? But I'm talking about this idea that you can just go it alone, that you can get everything you need from the Lord, everything you need from community, both from God directly and from through your screen. And that there's not really a need to be plugged into a faith community. And this is quite pervasive. A lot of times Ron and I, the first thing we ask people is like, oh, what church are you at now? You know, we've been doing life with a lot of people for a long time, right? And we're like, oh, we see people, oh, where are you at now? And they'll be like, oh, it's me and God. Yep, it's me and God. Or here and there, hopping around. Or they're like, yeah, you know, I'm really into the Potter's House right now. And I'm like, okay, cool. But he don't know you. T.D. Jakes and Sarah Jakes don't know you by name. Okay, like, cool. I mean, I love listening to other preachers. I love listening to other teachers. I love hearing about what the Lord is doing in the body, the greater body of Christ. And I'm very aware that my spiritual health is fully dependent on being in community. That there is something that happens when I show up and spend time knowing others and being known by them. Many people at this time are tired, which we've talked about. They've been hurt by the church, or they're aware of the way that the church as an organization can hurt. Many people are frequently overwhelmed with life. And so as a result, many have started to believe that community is optional, that it's a nice bonus when you have the time, but not that it's sacred. Not that it's something worthy of sacrifice for. Because let's be real, community is not easy. It is not easy. Particularly when you are in a space with people who are different ages than you, when you're in a space with someone who is a different gender than you, when you are in a space with different ethnicities than you, different socioeconomic status, and different family groups. A lot of friction comes up, okay? Both good friction of, oh, I've never thought of it like that, right? Like there's that good kind of like testing and wrestle that happens where someone thinks differently than you, or they've had different life experiences, and so they share something and you're like, ooh, Okay. And then because we are human and we have not yet attained the perfection of the Lord, there is also the friction that comes because we don't get it right. And so living in community frequently means getting your feelings hurt or hurting someone else's feelings, whether you desire to or not. It's like if you're in a crowded room, you're gonna step on some toes. Might be on accident, but you still cause some pain. Scripture gives us a picture of community that makes it clear that it's not something that's optional. We're gonna go to Hebrews 10. Nice short little passage tonight. So in this chunk of Hebrews, he's talking about the greatness of the sacrifice of Christ and how we needed a mediator and how Jesus is the high priest and all these things that result as that come as a result of what he did on the cross. The sanctification that we have, right? And the and our ability to enter boldly before the Lord, right? And that he's consecrated us and we get to have a full assurance of faith. And in the midst of all these things that make sense in light of Jesus' sacrifice, there's these two verses. I'm going to start in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to read it again. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is more than a verse about church attendance. It can't just be a verse about church attendance, given where it's placed in this book, given it's where it's placed in this passage. It is a holy, prophetic charge for how we live as the people of God. And given the setting of as the day approaches, it's how we live as the people of God in an increasingly fractured and divided world. Not when everything is good, but as everything gets more and more separated. So today's message is stir, stay, speak, right? Because I believe that God is calling us to be a people, us as the wider body of Christ, but then us specifically as Shepherd's Heart, to be a people who stir one another to love and good works, who stay in formation with the people that God has joined us to, and who speak life with urgency, hope, and spirit-filled power. This is how we live, not just as individuals pursuing Jesus on our own individual track, but as a body being built together. As a body being built together. And I think that's so cool that before I come to give this message, there's this example after example after example of how we as a body are necessary to build each other up. Okay, so if this is how we're called to live, if we're called to stir and to stay and to speak, then let's look at where the passage starts. It doesn't start with what we do. It starts with how we see. The first part of this, verse 24. And let us consider one another. This word is not a casual word. It doesn't mean a quick glance. It doesn't mean a quick thought. This word in the Greek is katanoio. It means to perceive clearly, to observe attentively, to fix one's eyes or mind on, to weigh thoughtfully and spiritually. This is not about analyzing people. It is about spiritual attentiveness, looking at the people around you with compassion, listening to them with discernment, and paying attention to what God might be doing in someone's life. Before you can do all these other things that come, that the Lord charges us to do when we're living life with other people, the very first thing he tells us to do is to see them. Is to see them. To consider them. To think about them. To think about where they are in life and who they are and who God has called them to be and what where he is taking them. To not exist in some kind of shallow, small talky, we only see you on Saturday and it's, hey, how are you on our way to the parking lot or on our way to get food? And it's not an actual knowing of people. He's called us to consider each other. And none of us are exempt from this. This is in the train of all the things that result that we do in recognition of the work that the Lord has done. Okay? This is if you believe that the Lord is this and you are called by his name, then these are the things that you do. The verse right before it is, actually I'm going to go two verses back, 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It's these things that we do as a result of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And then is, and let us consider one another. So because of Jesus' work on the cross, if we have appropriated that sacrifice, if we are people who have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, right? If we are people who hold fast the confession of our hope, then we are also called to be people who consider one another. And you don't get to exempt yourself from this because you're an introvert. Hi, I am one of you. Okay? When I tell people that I'm an introvert frequently, people are like, oh, but you people so good. And I'm like, no, it's work. It's work. Okay? Like they say the difference between introverts and extroverts is extroverts get around people and they gain energy. My 13-year-old is an extrovert. If I don't have her around people on a regular basis, she starts slumping around the house. And she's like, oh, everything is shades of gray. Right? Okay? And then she sees people and all of a sudden people are like, COVID was rough for Nakia. Okay? My older two are also introverts. And so they know that if for some reason Nakia has been sick, which she is right now, or otherwise she has not been able to see people, they extend themselves to try to help her get energy, and they will do more things with her than they might otherwise because they know this about their sibling. For me, people are work. I do not get energy being around y'all. But I do love you. I do love you, and so it's worth spending my energy on. Everybody's gonna have something that's work. Everybody's gonna have something that they have to spend their energy on. And you're loved and valued by God, and so you are loved and valued by me. And then I go home, and I hide under my duvet, and I recharge, okay? It is what it is. But me being an introvert doesn't mean that I get to exempt myself from being in community with people. It doesn't mean that I get to go, oh, the Lord made me this way, and so I get to be like this special snowflake and just like draw apart and not talk to anybody, and he knows me and he knows my heart, and so he has called me to solitude. I am not John the Baptist living in the desert on honey and locusts, okay? I live in 2025 in a city with people around me, and so I'm called to be in community with those people. No one is exempt from this. How do we see people? If this doesn't come naturally to you, it's okay. It's all right. First, we pause. Okay? You can't rush through everything and also think that you are seeing people clearly. You can't rush through life and think that you are seeing clearly. So we pause. And then we pray. The Lord is faithful. If the goal of considering, if a key element in community is to see clearly, then why wouldn't you start by asking him to open your eyes? Lord, help me see the people I come in contact with. Help me see them as you see them. Help me see them not as who they're showing up to today, which might be tired and grumpy and hungry or hangry, but as the person that you created them to be, as the person that you are calling them to be. Show me how you're taking them from glory to glory to glory to glory. And then after you pray, perceive, right? The Lord, he is so generous. God is so generous. So many times we ask him for something and then we don't even do what it would be if he answered the prayer, right? Like you say, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see. Okay, so now look at the person and see what he shows you. Now think about them, hold them in your mind and see what he reveals. Don't just pray it and go about your business and then be like, oh, the Lord didn't do anything. Oh, you didn't wait. Okay? Pause, pray, perceive. And only once you're seeing the people around you do we move on to the next part. So verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In order to stir up. To stir up. I have the word there and I'm not finding it. Hold on, I'm gonna find it. Okay, so let's think about the very real reality of that word stir up, right? I'm thinking about being in science class and you've got like a beaker, right? And it's got the liquid in it. And I used to do the one where it's like, where there's the sediment in it and it's all mixed up, but then you go and it like separates out into the different layers and everything. Okay, when you stir something up, it all comes flurrying up, right? You don't stir something and it stays still, right? A stirring is a provoking, that's the word I was looking for. It's a provoking, Let me, because it's not in my note and I must have just forgotten to do it. Let me look up. Because through the wonders of technology, I have the Webster's 1828 dictionary right on my phone. Wonders of wonders. Okay, provoke. To call into action. To arouse. To excite. To cause. To challenge. To move. To call into action. To excite. To cause someone to rise up. To act, to impel them to move forward, to motivate, not in some kind of like motivational speaker kind of way, but in terms of to push someone forward. And what are we pushing them into? Love. The love there is the agape love, the sacrificial love. What else are we calling them into? Good works. So we see the person, we see them as God sees them. And then we say things to them or we do things with them that provoke and motivate someone to love, to do the good works that God has called them to do. Oh, there it is. Stirrup is paroxysmos, to provoke, incite, agitate. It's not gentle, but it's catalytic. It's catalytic. It transforms someone. It's the goal is to spark holy action in the people that you're in community with. to spark holy action. I hear a lot when people tell me that they're not coming to church anymore, that they weren't getting anything out of it. It wasn't speaking to them. Sometimes it's too light, it's too fluffy. I just wasn't getting anything out of it. But if we look at this scripture, then the point of community isn't to inspire us, but to activate others. And I know any time that I've been in a conversation where I say something that's sparking someone else, I get fired up too. How many of you have someone has been talking to you and you're giving good, godly counsel, right? You're feeling like you've got something to share with them and you're sharing that. And then you're like, oh, that's me. That was for me too, right? You're preaching to them, but you're really preaching to yourself. And you're like, oh, I needed that. Okay, you activate others and it reflects back to you. We don't do it because it reflects back to you, but know that if you are feeling disconnected and you are feeling like those of us who are up here, whatever church you may go to, aren't speaking to you, then you need to start speaking to others the words of the Lord. And I guarantee you that that attitude will flip. What are some ways that we can stir up others? Call out the good that you see in them. Pray on the spot for them. Someone says, oh, this hard thing is going to happen. And you're like, I'll pray for you. Pray then. Pray for them later too, but pray right then. Pray right then for them. Okay, it does not have to be long. If the Lord stirs you to go long, go long. Okay, whatever. Okay? But in our house with the kids growing up, we'd always call them boo-boo prayers. You know, kid falls, first thing is like, Lord, heal their knee. Or heal this boo-boo, right? It gets to be one sentence. It can be one or two sentences. Oh, I'm having a hard week this week. I have to have this hard conversation with my spouse or with my boss or at my school. School's starting this week. I have a test tomorrow. Lord, give my sister peace. Lord, you see my brother. Help him walk in clarity of thought. Be with him when he goes into this conversation. Amen. Boom. Done. Invite them into the work that you are doing. Okay? Stir up good works and love in other people by telling them what you're doing and asking them if they want to be a part. It's okay if they say no. But invite them in. Hey, I do this work at this homeless shelter. Do you want to come? I do this thing. You invite people into partnership with you into the things that the Lord is doing. That was at the beginning when I was encouraging those who work in the schools. And I was like, think about what you need for a victorious year. How much prayer support do you need? And then invite people to cover you. Speak to their gifts. That's a little bit different than calling out the good that you see them. Speak to the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you see in them. Call those things forward. Share a testimony. We talk about that a lot here. Share what God is doing for you, what he's done for you. He is not a respecter of persons. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So my testimony of what God has done for me encourages and stirs up you. Your testimony stirs up, encourages me, because now I can see that the Lord has done it. Ask soul questions, not just superficial ones. How are you feeling about that? What's going on with you? What choices are you planning to make here? What are you thinking about? Not in a creepy way. Okay. All right. Okay, you can ask that question according to the depth of your relationship with that person, okay? But you can actually ask questions about who they are, not just the stuff you see on the surface. Celebrate their yes, okay? You see someone move forward, you see them do something different. Cheer that on. Cheer that on. They tell you a commitment they made before the Lord. Cheer for them. Cheer for them. Oh, you know they were struggling and you see this? Amazing. Amazing. I do that when real practical way that this happens and plays out multiple times is we will have people in service who won't come forward when they have a word from the Lord. And then I'll get a call or a text later and they're like, hey, I had this thing. And I was like, hey, that was it. You could have come forward with that. That would have been released to the microphone. That would have been an addition to our service. Right? And so then the next time when they're like, hey, I think I hear something, and they actually come up when they thought they heard it, and they come forward and they, yes, yes, I'm so excited for you. Encourage their obedience. Don't give up. You've got this. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Stir each other up to love and good works. Back to the text. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some. This isn't just about showing up. This isn't about your butt in the seat, although that is a great place to start. This is about staying in formation with the people who God joins you to. Formation. There we go, formation. Formation, the act of forming or making, the act of creating or causing to exist, of bringing materials together, of shaping and giving form. When we say stay in formation, or when I say that, I'm not trying to be poetic. I'm describing a biblical pattern of how God grows his people together. I'm going to run to Ephesians 4. Let's start in verse 11, because you know I love some full context. And he himself, meaning God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The whole body, joined, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When you pull away, we are all less. There is a part for you. Formation is a body process, not just a personal one. You're not just being formed as an individual, you're being formed with others. Growth happens because we stay joined. Formation requires proximity and consistency. So proximity is actual nearness and consistency over and over and over again. It's about being in repetition, in rhythms, right? In being seen and still showing up. You don't get that online. And I love having the blessing of online. So this is not disparaging that, but it is saying that you still need to be known. You still need to know people. We were counseling a couple and they were talking about they didn't really have a local place. Some of that was because they were transient at that time. They were moving cities and states and everything. But they were looking to settle, and we were like, hey, where are you going to land? And they're like, well, we don't really feel like we have to be members of a local church. And we're like, I hear you. Got you. Got you. They watch here. They watch other places. And I was like, okay, cool, cool, cool. And if you both have norovirus and you're just clinging to your toilet for hours at a time and you're both down in separate toilets, just letting it all come out, who is Instacarting you food and bleach? Who is showing up at the door and making sure that you have Gatorade and you're not dehydrated? It was just a real, like, what are you gonna do? Who are you gonna be with? Ron and I are gonna be 1,000 miles away. Who do you call if you need something? You need community. And if that's just physical, how much more do you need it mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? Like, that's a real practical, real vivid example. Who do you call when you have the stomach flu? 2021 or whatever, right? It might have been 2020. I think it was 2021. Everybody in the house gets COVID except for me. I send them up the stairs. We have a door at the top of the stairs. I'm like, I love you all. I shut them up on the second floor with two bathrooms and 3 bedrooms. And I stay downstairs and I bring trays of food up and leave it on the landing and then exit and tell them that it's all clear for them to get their food and everything. I had community. They dropped paper plates and napkins at the door. They sent food. They called me every day to see if I needed something, to see how I could, are you okay? How are you feeling? How are the kids? How's Ron? Okay, what do you need? And at one point, like early in the process, one of my friends was like, what do you need? And I was like, I need not to do dishes. There was 500 paper plates at my door in a few hours. Community. Formation includes friction, and that's okay. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron. Okay, sometimes I watch that show, Forged in Fire, or I think that's what it's called, where they make the knives and they make the swords and stuff. And the thing, there's a lot of sparks that fly when they're making that stuff. And I'm thinking iron sharpens iron, right? There are sparks just going all over the place. So if that's true, what does that mean about us? If we're the iron sharpening the iron, and in the natural, in the very real picture, there's sparks flying and fire starting and people getting burned and singed, what does that mean about us? It tells me it's not comfortable. That's for sure. The people God joins you to won't always be easy, but they will be essential. You are refined intention. The people God joins you to won't always be easy, but they will be essential. The community God has placed you to is for your good. It's for your good, and it's for their good. When we were doing the prophetic discipleship group, one of the times people was like, well, what if you're like in a church and no one's like you and no one's stuff? And he was like, hey, I would challenge you to consider something. Maybe God's calling you to move, but if it's just because you're just alone, if you leave that church, you have made that local expression of the body of Christ more unbalanced. It's more unbalanced because now the counterweight that you were providing with your specific giftings and your specific way of looking at the world is now gone. And you've gone, done what? Gone to a local body of Christ that is just like you. So now two houses are more unbalanced because you took the counterweight that they needed and you put it over here. And so now both scales are unbalanced. And that was a really interesting way of thinking for me. That sometimes the Lord is calling you to a place where no one is like you because you are giving something to that space that they don't otherwise have. And some of us who church hop just keep restarting our own personal formation over and over and over again. Because as soon as it gets uncomfortable, as soon as the people around you put their finger on the thing that God is trying to work out of you, and they're like, hey, I see this weakness in you. I think the Lord is calling for you to do something about this, and you bounce and you leave. Okay, now you're starting from scratch again. And you're circumventing the work that the Lord is trying to do in you. Formation means letting yourself be shaped, not just inspired. It's not all rah-rah. In fact, most of community is not rah-rah. Okay, it's mostly hard. Formation means remaining even when it's awkward, uncomfortable, or imperfect. Formation means staying connected to the people God joined you to, not the people you picked for yourself. Ron and I grew up in the inner city. When he said he thought the Lord was calling him to pastor, I thought we would be in an inner city church. I am not in an inner city church. And it is exactly where the Lord intends for me to be. But if I was picking where I landed, this would not have been on my radar. Not because it's a bad house. I just wouldn't have thought. Because I have blind spots. Okay, so how do we do this? You keep showing up. That's thing number one. Consistency is countercultural. It's out of the ordinary now, okay? Let yourself be known. Share what's going on. You get to do it to the depth of relationship, but let's not lie to each other. How are you doing? Fine. You get to see, how are you doing? It's been a hard week. You don't have to trauma dump on someone, but you can be honest. It's been a hard week. I'm really tired. Commit to the purpose that's bigger than you. If this is your home, if this is your church family, where is Shepherd's heart going and how can you contribute to that? Not just what can you get out of it? Stay through discomfort or offense. The scripture has ways to deal with offense. So if you're offended with us or with someone else, there's a path forward for you. It's not an excuse to step away and isolate yourself. Speak life in the room that you're in and remember why you're here. When it gets hard, why did the Lord call you here? What was the point? Because there was one. If you're weary, stay. If you're uncertain, stay. If you're growing, stay. You don't have to be perfect to stay. You just have to stay willing. Let God finish what he's forming in you through us. And a people who speak. I'm out of that passage. Oh, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting means to call near, to encourage, to comfort, to strengthen, to speak life. The Greek word is parakleo, which is the same root as parakletos, which is the word used to describe the Holy Spirit. The one who comes alongside. That's what exhortation means and what the Lord calls us to do is not just to cheer someone else on, but to come alongside of them in the spirit and to encourage them. And just think about that word, encourage. It means to put courage into someone's heart. Not just to big up them and be like, yeah, you got this, but to put courage in their heart to follow the things of the Lord. We are all called to do this. Every single one of us. Encouragement isn't a nice extra. It's how we protect each other from isolation, deception, and spiritual weariness. Me speaking life is spiritual warfare on your behalf. You speaking life is spiritual warfare for me. We see that in Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Me encouraging you puts armor around you. Me encouraging you protects you from the schemes of the enemy. Me encouraging you helps your heart stay soft to the things of the Lord. I was talking to Daniel Sneed last night, right? And we were talking about something he was doing, and he was like, it's actually all about affirmation. As adults, we don't get that. As adult men, we don't get that. He was like, where are the opportunities to speak life and to build each other up? How can I do that more and more and more? How can I build that into every single thing that I do? Okay, so what does exhortation look like? Speaking life, not flattery. Encouragement isn't vague. It's truth and love. Exhortation looks like strengthening the weary. Exhortation looks like reminding people who they are, because identity often wavers under pressure. When you are encouraging, you are saying it out loud. You are writing the note. You are saying it with your words. You're not just thinking it and going, oh, I'm sure they know. You are making sure that they are aware of what you are seeing. And encouragement at its core is spiritual. It's spirit-filled. It's not just what we think would be nice to say. It's fueled by the power of the Spirit. And then I just want to highlight that last little bit in Hebrews 10:25, where we talk about all these things, and it says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. This phrase is eschatological. I always get tangled up in that word. Okay, it's pointing to the return of Christ. As we get closer and closer to that day, we are supposed to do this more and more, considering each other more, stirring one another up more, gathering more, speaking, exhorting each other more. It's not about more effort. It's about more clarity and more power behind the things that we do. The closer we get to that day, the more that everything around us fragments, the more important community becomes. God is preparing a people who can endure, encourage, and stand together, not just for today, but for the days that are coming. And so if you're living, you're aware of the world having increased fear, increased division, increased pressure, increased spiritual numbness, increased fragmentation. But in the middle of that, this scripture tells us to lean in even more, don't pull back. To gather with purpose, don't scatter. So this is how we live. The goal is for us to be awake, for us to be joined, for us to move on purpose because of the time that we're living in. It's more important now than it has ever been. And it'll be more important tomorrow than it is today. And more important the next day than it is today. So I want us to be a people who stir one another up, not with hype, but with holy encouragement. I want us to be a people who stay together, not just by being physically in the room, by being formed together, both through friction and through faithfulness. I want us to be a people who speak, not just words, but life, strength, and spirit-built, breathed courage. And I want us to be a people who know the time that we're living in, and that what we do is a response that's fueled by urgency, not by lukewarm apathy. We're not just drifting passively through this life, but we have urgency and conviction from the Lord. So I'm gonna pray. Thank you for hanging with me. Lord, make us this people. Make us people who see each other clearly, who are able to stir each other up into love and good works. People who stay together even when it's hard. And people who speak life and power over each other. Lord, I pray that your word would take root in our minds, not just in our minds, but in the way we live, in our habits, in our conversations, in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.